Radio Avenger.
Rick Adams is on.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Rick Adams here once again. And we are going to have to begin our program tonight. Ted Pike from truthtellers.org. Been a very long time, been about a year just about, and he's been certainly on top of this latest barrage of anti-Christian bigotry that is emanating from Hollywood, and particularly the so-called entertainment aspect of Hollywood, and he's with us now. Hello, Ted.
Hello, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Yes, it's a pleasure to have you back, and I guess the one among many other programs that is a particular offense nowadays seems to be this ABC TV program, Good Christian Bitches.
It certainly is. Yes, it's completely over the top. Certainly, people of different faiths have the right to criticize other religions, but not to create grotesque caricatures of the authority figures, the followers, the disciples of that religion, and hold them up to public mockery. And that's what ABC's Good Christian Bitches is doing.
Well, now, this idea didn't just come about recently. The series was, I guess, conceived of some time ago, huh?
Well, I did do an article on it, I believe, about a year ago, and ABC was kind of testing the waters to see if it could fly under that title, Good Christian Bitches. There was so much flack that they decided to pull back, and then they did run it in Australia, the entirety, 10 episodes in Australia, evidently didn't get much criticism down under, and so they came back, and they retitled it Good Christian Bells. That didn't seem to be quite satisfying enough to them, so they called it GCB. But everybody knows that it stands for Good Christian Bitches. That certainly was the title of the book by Kim Gatlin originally.
Now, I think as you have said in your numerous press releases, that is particularly offensive as a stereotypical concept against women and against Christian women, and yet evidently the Jewish hierarchy of ABC TV and the other networks feel pretty cocky today, these days, pretty confident about being able to put on just about anything they think they can get away with regard to Christians.
Well, they are pressing the limit. This pattern, of course, started back with the Last Temptation of Christ, and if it hadn't been for Jerry Falwell shooting off his mouth briefly at the beginning of that Last Temptation assault by MCA, the Jews in MCA in Hollywood, the church in America would not even have dreamed that this was coming from anti-Christian Jews. And I picked up on that. Our National Prayer Network sent out a special a flyer entitled The Real Reason Behind the Last Temptation of Christ, sent that to, I think it was 192,000 pastors, evangelical pastors in America. And,
all right, let's take our break, folks, and we'll come back to Ted Pike and the subject that we're talking about. Rick Adams, Uncensored.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
Okay, we're back now with Ted Pike, and we're talking about the latest assault on Christianity in TV land. But, you know, Ted, you just mentioned something. You just mentioned something about the Last Temptation of Christ, and I was very much a part of that protest when it hit the movie theaters here in our area. And, you know, I certainly was well familiar with the controversy surrounding it, the origins of it, and the Martin Scorsese, the director, and all of the, blather that had been going on around it, and how there was so much anti-Semitism and blah, 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 blah. Well, finally, of course, we know that because of protests and lack of interest, that the movie cost the studio many millions of dollars. It was an episode in bankruptcy for them, so it certainly didn't do them any good. Of course, that didn't stop them from other ventures, as you know. But I would say, to be honest with you, I have to go back in time, and I have to go back to a time in television land when I think all of this actually got underway. And you know when that was? That was in the 1960s, the late 60s, when a guy by the name of Norman Lear came along.
Yes.
Norman Lear, who was the head of the American Civil Liberties Union in Hollywood, convinced CBS to dump all the good programs that had been on in the 1960s, you know, the Red Skeletons and the Green Acres and the Petticoat Junction and so forth, to make room for a new wave of comedy. And that was All in the Family. And ever since then, it became a watershed. And that was a turning point.
Yeah.
And Lear knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what the effect would be. And here we are today, several decades later.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, well, we've had a succession of really blatant attacks, though, on Christ, his divinity and resurrection and so on. And I think probably the second wave of what you're talking about began with The Last Temptation. But there was you remember the Book of Daniel? Certainly the Da Vinci Code, the National Geographic's Gnostic Gospels. Those are some of attempts to just to see how far these Antichrist Jews in Hollywood can go in really blaspheming Christ and seeing if the church, the evangelical church and the religious right, will have the guts to stand up to them. Tragically, this time around, we are finding no evangelical leadership organizations, major evangelical organizations, really speaking out against this travesty. Our National Prayer Network, along with several groups, are protesting and organizing opposition, certainly calling and emailing into the sponsors. We have convinced 11 sponsors to publicly declare that they will not continue to support or advertise on GCB. But it's very interesting that what we're seeing is that there's something like 156 sponsors have actually come on. It's quite a rotation process. But something like 71% of those sponsors now have not returned after only one appearance of their ad. And even the first ad, they probably weren't even aware that it was being rotated onto that particular program. So even though we've only convinced 11 to come kind of out of the closet, if you will, and declare themselves in opposition to this Christian bashing program, nevertheless, there is evidence that our boycott efforts are having an effect. In fact, in this very last one that came out on Sunday night, we noticed very strongly that there seemed to be a lack of real commercials. It was filled up very largely with local commercials and then announcements about coming productions on ABC. So it may be that we are hitting them much harder than might appear on the surface.
Well, now, what is it going to take to end the series?
Well, I am not exactly sure. All I know is that really thousands of people are angry about this, even though national Christian leadership seems to be very, very timid and silent and maybe even apprehensive, because they know probably as well as anybody does that these Jews like Robert Iger and the staff, the real creative guts of this production, are almost entirely Jewish. And in fact, Robert Iger is not a secular Jew. He's a practicing perhaps Orthodox or conservative Jew, and that's rather ominous, really, because it means that it's out of his own convictions of Judaism and the Talmud and so on that he is allowing this production to go forward in the beginning. He's he's making sure it will continue as the CEO of Disney ABC, continue from completely to the final episode. And not only, of course, is Iger Jewish, but Darren Star, who's the kind of the notorious producer of Desperate Housewives and Melrose Place and other things, he's a passionate homosexual, a darling of the gay lobby. And then there's Alan Poole, who is a really militant homosexual Jew. He's the director of Good Christian Dishes. And then Aaron Kaplan is the producer. So it's top heavy. The production is top heavy with Jews, even though Robert Harling, the scriptwriter, is a Gentile. Nevertheless, this is an unprecedented body blow, an attack on evangelical Christians.
Well, that goes without saying. And again, the fact of the matter is that it's not unexpected that they'd be top heavy with Jewish writers and producers, because that is the way in all of Hollywood and the media in general. And the amazing thing is that there has not been a greater outpouring of antipathy and anger over this from the Christian community. You know, the radical so-called Christians who support these wars in the Middle East against Islam and the John Hagee types, isn't it interesting, with all of the money that they can amass, that they would not put their money toward a more righteous cause and a more Christian cause than this, you see?
Yeah. Well, it is a travesty. For example, you don't have any problem getting Dr. James Dobson, if things heat up in the Middle East, to make a big public, well-publicized statement in support of Israel, or Pat Robertson, or Hal Lindsey, or any of the evangelical Christian conservative leaders. No problem coming to the support of Israel, but here Jesus and his disciples, his followers, are being mocked. The Holy Spirit is being blasphemed in this last episode, and for some reason they simply cannot work themselves up to spend 15 minutes each to put out a press release informing their vast constituencies that this sacrilege is going on. The big problem here is that most Christians don't even know this is going on. Most of them don't even watch this kind of TV,
right?
But they don't know what's going on. So it's up to some of us to bang the drum and make a big noise, but with much more limited media resources than we wish we had.
You know, I confess my own ignorance, since I am not a television watcher. I'd have to ask you if you have done the demographic research and to find out at least who is it that these TV shows, this particular one, is intended as its audience.
Well, I think it's a general audience, but of course they're trying to get to the young. The story is about former high school students, girls in high school, who were bitterly resentful of the beautiful heroine, Amanda, who goes off to California, marries a rich tycoon. The tycoon dies in a car crash. She comes back to Texas, to Dallas, Texas. But these so-called bitches, the good Christian bitches, who are all prominent members of the local evangelical church, they are bitterly resentful. They're backstabbing, hypocritical, adulterous, immoral, every vice you could possibly imagine they have, but it appeals to a young audience, because the quarrel is basically a post-high school quarrel between Amanda, who was pretty much of a bitch in her time, but now she's not a Christian at all. But throughout the sitcom, she is held up again and again as a bastion of thoughtfulness and sensitivity and consideration for others, even while the church women are anything but anything we should admire or possibly want to emulate. In fact, the whole message of this series is that don't become a Christian. You become a free-thinking secularist like Amanda, And even there's a homosexual, a Christian homosexual is also a pillar of the church. He has his affairs with his ranch hands and so on, kind of a Brokeback Mountain type of situation. And he's held up also as reasonable, compassionate, empathetic. But everything, every person in there resembling a Christian is everything we deplore. And certainly the message to the young is, hey, you don't want to become a Christian. Be a free thinker, even be a homosexual or a secularist, whatever, but Christianity doesn't work. And it, right there we see the kind of the nexus of my quarrel with it. It's really an attack on Jesus Christ and the power of his shed blood to save souls.
Yes. All right, let's take another break, and we'll come back with Ted Pike of TruthTellers.org. All right, folks, I think we are back now with Ted Pike from TruthTellers.org. And yes, we are back. We're talking about good Christian bitches and all of the furor that it has created. And, of course, Ted has done, I guess, more than his lion's share of the work in a particular endeavor. And what kind of... Again, getting back to the demographics, Ted, let me ask you this. Given the fact that there are so many homosexual Jews who are behind this, do you also think that it is made as an appeal to homosexuals today, young homosexuals?
Well, absolutely. There's a very handsome husband of Cricket who is one of the good Christian bitches, and she gets no satisfaction, of course, by being married to him. She hires, actually, personal trainers to have sex with her. She's a pillar of the church, a prominent choir member. But her husband is a raving homosexual. He has his own cattle ranch, and he has sex with not only men at the bar, but his ranch hands and so on. They have a kind of a platonic marriage, but... he is very compassionate, very human. In every episode, he is held up as one of the very few really reasonable and empathetic people on the program. And obviously, the message is there is that young men, young women, don't look to Christianity as a source or heterosexuality as a source of happiness and fulfillment. Consider an alternative sexual lifestyle. In fact, heterosexuality is mocked in this program. All of the heterosexual marriages are dysfunctional, rivalrous, and so on. And they even had one program about an attempt to have a seminar to heal marriages and bond couples together. It was a travesty. It was a joke. What they're basically saying is that heterosexuality is certainly fraught with its share of every kind of problem, and you might as well shop around for alternative ways to get satisfaction. That's the message to young people.
Oh, excellent fact, you know, that you bring out. And, you know, I can't help but think that this also represents just another example of the fact that there is so much widespread revulsion against the homosexuality of our time in many Christian churches and amongst many who don't, by the way, even have to be Christian. And that brings up another point, that is that many of the people today, just women, never mind Christian women, but women in general, I would think would be offended by this kind of program. Are they? Do you find that to be the case at all?
Well, you know, ABC is producing another sitcom derogatory against women. It's called Beware of the Bitches Next Door. They're using this term bitches for women, not only Christian women, but women in general. There's a denigration of women, making them virtually dogs. And to be used, sex objects, to be held in contempt and used and thrown away and so on. This is just beyond anything that we would consider suitable in media, in civilized society. And certainly I uphold free speech, First Amendment rights to speak out on about anything. But what we find here is a tremendous double standard. I pointed out in one of my articles concerning this sitcom that since its origins are clearly Jewish and even religiously Jewish in Robert Iger, who's CEO of the whole thing, that I point out that in any other country of the Western world that is dominated by an ADL hate crimes law, this would certainly be considered a hate crime against Christianity. You go up to Canada, the very definition of a hate crime under Section 319 of their federal ADL hate law is to hold up members of an identifiable group for hatred and contempt. That's definitive. And so if you go on the radio in Canada and you even criticize homosexuality or the Jews even for crucifying Christ, immediately you can be facing a $5,000 fine and $175,000 of legal expenses to clear your name, as well as a possible jail sentence if you repeat this. The offense, the TV or radio station allowed you to say something like that will lose its license. They don't play around with denigration of other people because of their racial or religious or sexual orientation. But here we have 10 weeks' worth of sequels back-to-back choked with denigration of Christians, specifically Christian women and men, as hypocrites, backstabbers, materialistic, I could go on and on of the adjectives describing the gutter portrayals of Christian in this program, and yet where is the ADL? You know, if this were called Good Jewish Bitches, if a public figure, a minister or a broadcaster, just think of the atomic explosion that would come out of ADL.
Well, I don't think we'll ever see that happen soon. That's for sure. Okay, stay where you are, Ted. We'll take some calls, by the way, when we return with more of Rick Adams Uncensored.
What have you done? Thousands of years of building and rebuilding, creating and recreating so you can let it crumble to dust. A million years, the sensitive men dying for their dreams. For what? So you can swim and dance and play.
All right, we're back. Mike, our number is 800-313-9443. If you'd like to ask a question or make a comment on this particular subject that we're dealing with tonight, please feel free to. Jim and Fort Worth is up. Hello, Jim.
Rick. Hi, Rick. I hope it's all right to call Ted Pastor Pike. That sound good?
Sure.
Good. I like that. I'd like to make you aware of a couple of things. Here in Fort Worth, the city dump had so many people throwing away televisions, they put a limit of 2 every 6 months. I got rid of about 10 of them. And I'd like to point out that I am an award-winning Hollywood set designer, and I left that burg the minute I figured out that there were not very many good old people out there, and I'm thrilled to be back in Fort Worth, and I'm not going to let it go to hell like that area. But I'd like to point out that Neil Bortz, who is a raving abortionist, has exclusively just about government commercials. I mean, one after another, all night long. And by the way, ABC, if you'll allow me two acronyms, I call them, they're acronyms. ABC actually means always bashing Christ.
Yeah.
And HBO is Homosexuals Broadcasting Obscenity with their latest piece of crap, excuse me. But that's about all I had to contribute. I appreciate you being on, sir, and I appreciate your great work. And I would say carry on.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Anything else to add, Jim, about this particular program?
Just that it's up to your great standards.
Now, you haven't seen it yourself, have you?
I don't have a TV.
Well,
I have. I'm off of all the grids except the phone, and the only reason I have this phone and nobody knows who has this phone is to call in to RBN because they will let you talk, and they're the only talk radio that I know of, period.
Well, that's a warm and welcome compliment. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very kindly for that. You know, Ted, there was a time then, even when Hollywood was Jewish right from the beginning, and the television industry, you know, really from the 1950s onward, most of the writers, producers, and screenplay people, directors, were actually Jewish. Not all, but most of them were. There was that envelope they dared not to push, you know.
Yes.
They never... even in their wildest imaginations, could ever dream of getting into the subject matter that they have in later years, as I said, with Norman Lear opening the door, and then to be able to even suggest the kinds of taboo subjects that they never really talked about or impinged upon, and that was respect for other religions. But ever since the 70s, it has been fair game. It has been a just open field on Christians, on Islam, and so forth. But as Marlon Brando observed, as you know, many years ago, he mentioned that you will never see the kike image or any of these other images in Hollywood. And he felt, you know, pretty burdened about it enough to come out and speak out about it. And, of course, it cost him. And he had to go and sort of do his little apologia before the three rabbis, you know, because he realized that, once again, there is a price to pay for offending those, you know, who were responsible for the murder of Jesus. So
that's right. Well, the fact of the matter is that Hollywood keeps pace with the moral decline of America, and particularly the church. The Barna statistics polls come out every year, and George Barna gives a pretty accurate representation of how authentic Christianity is becoming almost extinct in the church. He says now that it's very, very difficult in any evangelical churches for young people to find an adult who is living authentic Christianity. And what's happening is that the moral standards, the doctrinal standards, materialism, immorality are taking a tremendous decline and toll on the integrity of the church today. And the very fact that the leaders now of the evangelicals are not speaking out, they've basically given up on any kind of effort to oppose this blasphemy, is an index of how really in a state of decline, even moral rottenness, the church is. Do you realize, Barna reported that 44% of evangelical teens now have had sex before they are 18, out of wedlock, fornication. And this means that if you're looking at your youth group in a large evangelical church, almost half of them are fornicating as they're sitting there attending a service. And 93%, Barna says, leave Christianity after high school. These are ominous, kind of the canary in the mine shaft warnings to us that we desperately need a moral renewal, revival in America. And, of course, the GCB is taking advantage because there's a certain truth that there is tremendous hypocrisy, alcoholism, immorality, materialism. All of this is going on, especially in mainline evangelical churches that are super huge, super slanted toward bringing in as many people as possible, requiring as little as possible from them.
Yeah. Well, now, that is a commentary in itself about the quote, Christian church today. And again, I sort of compartmentalize and separate these evangelical Christians and shallowness that they often represent with the deep, excuse me, the deep-seated Christians who have a very deep and serious commitment in many sects. It does speak, though, of the fact that this whole breakdown of society, this breakdown of the morals of our society, the fabric of our society, has been so devastating, if I may use the term, that it really and truly has cut across all lines, yeah. And it's taking its toll. Now, it's making a lot of money for the moguls. It's bringing in cash, although now they're starting to lose some of that money. They just simply carry on and move on to another project and dabble wherever they can and try to just continue to gallop their way to success. But we know that sooner or later, Judgment Day comes. And when it comes, we don't want to be in the way of judgment, that's for sure. So we're finding in the church today that that's going to be the place where it's going to hit first, I think. And a lot of these preachers and many of them with their wives and their families and daughters and so forth, you know, can't control them, and they find that they too are compromised. So, you know, I guess what can we expect of the church participants, the membership, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Well, you were talking about how in the 70s this real radical downturn in the emphasis of Hollywood occurred, and I think that was largely in response to the hippie rebellion in the mid-60s. And the church itself, I was going to Sunday school back in the 50s and early 60s, and there was much, much more integrity, evangelism, Bible study, solid preaching back then. But in the summer of 64, the whole country, the youth of the country rebelled, went into protest of the Vietnam War, as well as the hippie movement and drugs and all of that. And I think there was a kind of a sea change in the evangelical church at that time, in which this idea of primarily having to relate or be relevant to rebellious youth became the primary object. The guitars and the drums and the long hair and the jeans came into the church, and even the pastors, and there was this complete change of emphasis, and the great networks like Trinity Broadcasting, Pentecostal Network, began at that time. Now is just filled with absolutely obscene and raucous, chaotic rock music.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be Christian and all of that kind of thing, as well as fleecing people through demanding that they give vast amounts of money in order to receive God's blessing, seed tithes and all that kind of simony and nonsense and so on. But what I'm trying to do, of course, is not only alert the nation on a political level, on a social and a legislative level. I've been doing that, but just as much, we need to turn back to authentic Christianity. We need to seek out real substantial elements of what Christ really taught and live by it, which is a pretty hardline message. Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, if you're going to be the one who learns from me, you've got to forsake everything. You've got to be willing. I should say be willing, as God leads, to forsake everything and come and follow me and hate even your own life, if necessary, in order to do my perfect will. And that's why we're emphasizing at truthtellers.org the spiritual, not just the political or legislative, but the spiritual. And we do have Bible studies at Truth Tellers now. We have about 8,000 visits every month of people coming from all over the world, very, very interested in discovering what real Christianity is all about.
Right, right. Okay, who are the callers there, Mike? And who else? Okay, we have two calls right now, folks, and one of them, our first call, is Verna from Canada. Hello, Verna. You're up next with Ted Pipe.
Yeah, good evening. Look, I don't claim to be a saint. You know, we all stumble and bumble along the road and make our mistakes. But it means doesn't mean that we have given up, you know, to do the right thing. And one thing where I got so disenchanted with over the years was I got the impression that more and more churches, they're being run by witches, not by Christian women anymore.
Well, sure, that's something Ted can speak of.
And as I say, it's a very strong statement, you know. And I have been wondering over the years always, people I consider to be honest, decent people, how much they had become an enmity with the local churches. So they didn't want to have anything to do with it anymore, you know. But this is, I think, this was part of, or the main reason that they turned away from the churches, because they were so fed up with the falsehood.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I've attended a number of churches over the years here in my area, and actually I have been pretty much expelled from them all, because while your first experience on entering an evangelical church is to be glad-handed, big smiles, welcome to our wonderful, loving Christian family here. We're all very caring, and you're going to find a lot of good fellowship in our congregation. What happens, is, especially with me being a fairly independent-minded person and hopefully a spiritual person, is that very soon as I speak up in Sunday school class or speak up in a testimony service at night, the response is immediately the pastor senses my authority. He senses the possible competition which I will provide for the attention of his congregation. So the next item of danger, item on the agenda is to begin to take pot shots from the pulpit, and pretty much leads to an explosive desire as the pastor leads the congregation on in actually driving the independent-minded and spiritual person out of that church. The problem in the church today is that the great moral issues of our time are not allowed to be discussed in the church. We're talking about abortion, homosexuality, pornography, alcohol, evolution, and of course Zionism. All of these great moral issues that the church should be discussing are verboten, they're banned, and anybody who wants to bring them in is accused of bringing controversy into the church. So what happens is that the emphasis from the pulpit is to keep the people dumbed down, keep them as sheep following the particular pastor, the shepherd, who guides them along and does their thinking for them. It actually becomes a vice in the church to be an independent person, to think independently, and, of course, even worse, to speak independently as the Holy Spirit leads us. So what's happened is that by a process of kind of natural selection, the church produces drones. It produces people of subnormal intelligence and creativity, and the young people, seeing all of this mediocrity, are driven to get out of the church and go into science, go into the military, go into professions where people think, where they act in an independent and even an ambitious entrepreneurial way.
All right, Werner, does that give you a response?
Yeah, and as I say, maybe that might explain why young people start, converting to Islam.
Well, of course, they go where there's structure and ambition and an agenda and there's courage. And, of course, many people see in Islam that kind of legalistic structure and backbone that they don't have in a permissive society. And, of course, true spirituality, true Christianity, gets its structure from God Himself and the Holy Spirit. As we die to ourselves and the Holy Spirit leads us, guides us intimately through this life. But if people haven't discovered a true death to self and subservience to Christ and spiritual rest in Him, then even Christians begin looking around for legalistic systems that will give them that kind of structure. And, of course, legalism always leads into a bondage and even disillusionment.
Well, that was the controversy the Lord had when he was walking the earth between him and the scribes and Pharisees.
Yes.
Very true. Thank you for your call, Verna. We have to take our break. And when we come back, we'll take another call for Ted Pike, TruthTellers.org.
The New World Order thought police are on the run because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right. Hey, it's almost an hour already, and we have Fred in New York on the program. He wants to chime in. Hello, Fred.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Adams, for taking my phone call, and I want to thank Reverend Pike for standing up for Christian women worldwide. I believe that what the Reverend is saying is absolutely true and correct. It is filth. It is degeneracy. These shows that are coming out does nothing to improve our population. And I know your point before you had brought up about the degeneracy where it began, and I truly believe it began in around 1968-69 with the removal of the Hays Codes, because the Hays Codes kept a balance to what Hollywood could produce. Now, we know Jews were predominantly running Hollywood, but the Christians pretty much put in the Hays Codes to keep a balance. And it was subverted, the Hays Codes. And then after that, look at the movies that came out in the 70s, 80s, 90s. Degeneracy, filth, disgust, yeah. I mean, murder. It was totally off the wall.
Yeah.
And there's no counterbalance anymore in Hollywood.
Yeah. Well, you know, our duty is not necessarily to win. Even Jesus didn't win in the conventional sense against the Pharisees. They killed him, but we do have a duty to resist. Jesus says he wants us to occupy till he comes. We need to join with the Holy Spirit in resisting the appearance of Antichrist. And what I'd like to encourage people to do as we're ending the program is to come to truthtellers.org. We have close to a dozen articles now, I think, about this whole GCB controversy. We have the list of sponsors. We have their phone numbers. We have their email addresses prominently listed there. Do your part. Do as much as you can to call these sponsors and let them know that if they continue to support a GCB, you are not going to buy their Ford. You're not going to buy their pizza or whatever. And the truth of the matter is, as I mentioned earlier, there's 154 sponsors who've been rotated now. 78% of them have not repeated a single ad. They may have had one ad up, but they have not repeated that ad. I think that's a pretty good evidence that a lot of them are getting cold feet about publicly identifying themselves with this anti-family, anti-Christian program. I think there's a kind of a hidden damage that we're doing, probably millions of dollars worth of lost revenue for ABC. Let's just keep hitting them, keep resisting. See, the ABC is very publicly saying that it's hoping that it can make a good Christian bitches a permanent substitute for Desperate Housewives next season. But if we can get enough sponsors to jump ship and even be allergic to this particular program, we can do a very great deal, at the very least, to keep it from coming back next season.
I will, Reverend. I will. And I support what you're doing. I believe you are the gutsiest guy in the world to speak out, because the odds are so much against us. But it takes one man in the wilderness crying out to say, stop it. And it's just gone totally off the deep edge. I mean, did you listen to the programs you just said, Desperate Housewives? What kind of degenerate show is that, you know?
Yes.
And good Christian, I don't even want to say the term, it just disgusts me. But it's total filth, it's total disgust, unhealthy thinking, Reverend, and I really appreciate what you're doing. And thank you, Mr. Adams, for taking my phone call.
Thank
God
you.
Bless
I
both
appreciate
you.
Your
God
call.
God bless both of you.
All right,
thank
very
you.
Good. Well, Ted, the last minute or so again, come to truthtellers.org, and that's about the most important thing people can do to learn how to participate in this boycott.
Absolutely. Thanks
thank
so much,
you,
Rick.
Ted. been a pleasure. Thank you again. Okay. No.